Me, I am going to bring my new girl around. I am not going to want to be around you and your new man. So for me to understand that, like what you may want is not doesn't make sense for both parties. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would be damned if I had to take my sunglasses off. Mm-hmm. I'm not understand. I would be damned if I had a child with a woman and we were together and separated for whatever reason, and then I am on a Disney cruise with her and her new fiance with my child.
I've been divorced, so I can say that. There's always somebody who is pushing for you to, you need to stop, you need to get out of that. But you have to really take a step back and think for yourself. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of 8 at the Table. Today we have our guest. She is a divorce attorney, Ms. Fawn Dyer.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourself. Let them know where they can find you, anything you got going on.
All right. Well, my name is Fawn Dyer. I'm a divorce attorney. My office is in Westfield, New Jersey, and you can find me on TikTok at attorney_Fawn.
So before we jump into the segment, we definitely got to say shout out to Lamar Trucking Sales, or Lamar Truck Sales, right? He is actually our sponsor for today. Thank you. What he does is, raise the roof. What he does is he does financing with trucks, so buys and sells. So if you do, or if you want to get into that business, definitely recommend him. I do know that on his Instagram, he says he's located out of Elizabeth, New Jersey, one of his sites. But yeah, his Instagram is Lamar Truck Sales. So you can go ahead and see Lamar if you need help with your truck.
Can you talk about the financial implications of divorce and why people may avoid divorce for the financial implications?
Yeah, people stay married because they can't afford to have two homes, and we're in New Jersey. It's expensive
as fuck.
It's an understatement. It's very expensive. So it's really hard for the people to have two separate places. So we see people staying together. We saw it during COVID. We saw it even in the Great Recession. So I guess I don't know what else to say. Yeah, we do see that a lot.
Do you think, because the cost of living is so high now and income, salaries, whatever, have not increased in proportion to the increases of the cost of living, do you see any trends with that when it comes to your practice and people getting divorced, or, you know, coming to you for a divorce and they're like, you know what, I'm good?
I think when they see how much it costs to get divorced if you use an attorney, then they will really look at, let me wait, or let me just, they really have to think about it. Because if you're paying by the hour, which most of the time you are going to be, and you start arguing, you're going to argue for a long time, you know, that can be costly. And they don't want to spend all that money. So they're like, well, let me see if maybe it'll work out. Or if they're the one thinking of filing, maybe I don't file. I'm going to see if they file. Let's see how bad it is, you know. Or they want to wait till the other side is going to be less adversarial. I had a client say that, or a potential client say that recently, where it was like, well, I want to file, but I got to make sure he's not at a place where he's going to, you know, put me through the ringer, because he had like $20,000, like way more money. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, was not the moneyed person. So she really had to think about, should I do this?
Do you think... Oh, go ahead, Rico.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
Many questions. But my first one is, do you know offhand, or if you had to give a roundabout number, what is the average cost of a divorce?
Ooh. It's hard to say, because I don't want to misrepresent out there.
Not average, do median.
Yeah.
Not even that, because it really depends. I mean, you're always going to have some attorneys that are going to be on the low end. I'm not saying that, you're going to find that. But then you're going to find, if you're truly doing by the hour, I mean, it's not unusual. You're going to be in the $20,000 range.
God damn it.
not if you're going to argue.
And is that
we staying married
because of assets, or is that because
no, that's the cost, my boy.
No, but I mean, the more assets you have, or the more things you have together as a couple, does mm-hmm. that increase it at all?
It's just how difficult people are.
And so it's basically how difficult they are.
How long do you want to argue, or how you know, you want to fight?
Yeah.
Well, we can fight until the money's out. That's really kind of the way some people.
Damn. So how do women? My question is, women that, let's say they haven't worked or they weren't working throughout the relationship,
because it's our money.
So they take it. So they take. Can you say the sentence?
Well, like, what are you?
I know, what he was saying. He's like, where do they get the money?
Where are they getting the money from? And then really, it's like you're taking the money from the guy who's working to pay for the divorce.
Well, that happens. That's very common. They borrow it. They get family members to at least get it started. And then usually what happens is they're going to run up a bill. And then at some point, the family's going to pay for it.
Whose family?
The family. Which means the guy, whoever.
It's going to come out the assets or.
Or the new guy.
That's a good one.
Come out the
Wait.
Wait. Have you seen that before?
The new guy paying for the divorce?
Oh, yeah, there's new guys and new women who pay for child support.
I've seen that stupid
child
shit.
Child support.
Is that a Jersey thing? Because that's not the case.
Those
are personal obligations that don't bleed over into, like,
you'd be surprised how many people are paying other people's domestic obligations.
Yeah.
Because
I actually heard it for the first time.
They feel in love with.
You said you'll take one of those.
They're doing it voluntarily.
Yeah.
They can't be statutory.
I'll take one of those.
They're doing it.
I mean, the child support thing that's a little odd, but I could imagine the new person, like, all right, you need help with these lawyer fees. You need help, you know, paying to get this divorce done. I'm going to help you get it done. Like, I can see that. Like, you just coming into a situation and say, oh, I'm going to pay your child support. I don't understand that.
Yeah, the problem with the new person paying for it is now they want to come to the meeting and kind of run things.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
And they can't legally. They're not able to do that, but. That's what happens. I mean,
oh,
but
that is real messy.
People feel like if I'm paying, I'm saying, you know, that's kind of how they look at it.
Play.
So
you just got to pay under the table, my brother. That's it. Just slide the money. That's it.
Well, that happens too. I mean, as long as the money comes legally.
As long as I'm paid.
No one's going to argue over that part of it. But. That is true. That's what a lot of people are making arrangements with their new person or whomever to pay back. But you know what I also see is that the new person in the relationship, sometimes they don't last as long as the whole divorce process.
Wow.
And I have had a client that had we were on third boyfriend and we still not divorced yet. Mm. And so, you know, it's really, you have to be careful not to divulge with so much, because you don't know who they know. And now that person now has all this information, and I don't really like to talk. I mean, if they want me to talk to that person or they want to have them in the room, fine. But I will really tell people, don't do that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to point out that you have to, like, bank your money. You're not paying in arrears for a divorce, right?
I don't think.
Yeah, so. So you have to have your money up front.
You're going to pay a large retainer of some sort, which could be $5,000, $7,500 to get started. And then that you're going to think of it like playing spades or whatever. You got the kitty. You're going to take it. It's basically, that's the kitty, and then you're going to use it.
And then when you get to a certain number, not when you get to zero, you get to a certain number, you got to re-up.
That red light goes off. You were getting broke.
Yeah. So, like, you really got to have money. Because people... And I'm only saying this because people throw out the fact that people are just getting divorced like it's just an easy thing. No one's getting married to get divorced, because off rip, you have to have a certain amount of money that you can front in order to get a divorce.
Yep.
No one's taking divorce contingency cases. Nobody's letting you pay in arrears.
In fact, that's illegal.
Oh,
in New Jersey.
In Jersey. See, it makes sense because it's a family matter.
Yeah.
And
there's never a winner or loser.
Right.
Really.
That makes sense. I mean,
everybody loses a little bit.
What? You just told me this nigga got cheated on. And he lost a lot of, and she did well.
I'll tell you about that, though. He didn't want too much inquiry into his business affairs. And she knew that.
So she had blackmail.
I didn't say that. But that's very, that happens a lot too. You know, people have businesses in a divorce. Well, show me all your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't show it to me, well, we're going to go subpoena it. We're going to go get forensic accountants. We're going to look into all of that to see what you have. So he's like, well, I'll just write a check. How much to make you go away, kind of.
Wow.
Instead of having an inquiry and then having potential, you know, IRS questions because you filed some things and maybe that's not exactly what
the
truth is.
Those type of people I don't like.
So, you know what? I have a question. So a lot of times people talk about, obviously they're like YouTube lawyers, but they talk about how it's so easy to like have a prenup to be defeated and in court.
Defeated prenup?
Yeah. People be saying this all the time. Like, mm-hmm. and it's such, like, it's such a lie because it's one, it's against public policy. Like, you can't just put something out there and everybody can just defeat it and overcome it and have a successful claim. Like, what's the point of it now? You know? So I think I would love to hear what your opinion is on, like, successful prenups. And
here's what I tell people about the prenup, because, you know, it might be maybe that you can make it void or have it not stand, but that isn't even a problem. The problem is that people think that they can, and then what that's going to do is that's going to drive up your litigation costs, which is going to put people in a position where you're going to be forced to like make a decision. So think about it, like, I get it, if I have a prenup and then my strategy is to make you bankrupt. So you're not going to even fight the prenup because you have to do a case within a case. So you're going to have to figure out first, the first lawsuit is the prenup good? And then after we do all that, we're going to have a divorce. Then we're going to do a divorce case. So the prenup case, if it goes at full course, might take you in New Jersey, might be a whole year, depending on how long you're running and arguing on that. Then after you figure that out, then we can decide what's going to happen in the divorce. And I think that knowing the possibility of somebody arguing over it's not even about whether they win. You're going to spend all that money arguing over it. So sometimes they'll just say, you know what? I'm going to weigh my options. But that's strategy.
So basically it's like, pick your poison. How do you want to lose? Do you want to lose now or do you want to lose over time?
Right. Or if you win, what did you win? Because it also depends on what the prenup says. Like, you're going to spend $50,000 and what were you going to get in the prenup?
Okay, so can you tell me your, like, I guess worst prenup case?
Well, I wouldn't say the worst one. The ones that are, you see a lot are folks who maybe came over to the United States from somewhere different, and English is not their first language. They might have been educated in another country, come here, and the whole thing becomes about whether they had knowledge or could enter into it the right way.
It's a very good point, though.
Yeah, I mean, I had one like
that. The passport
bros? Oh, yeah, we want to know.
Wait, so you had a passport, where was the passport bros?
The issue was whether or not the person who signed that prenup did it voluntarily and knowingly, and whether there was a full disclosure of the assets, because you have to have full disclosure to also make it enforceable. So if you don't speak English, you don't really know how the laws work here in the United States. Maybe you didn't have a lawyer officially and you entered into this. Well, maybe there could be some argument that it shouldn't be upheld.
So I have a question.
So wait, do you know somebody who lost? Like.
Well, they didn't finish it because the money ran out and they decided to do, you know, you negotiate. It's a strategy. People, you get a prenup sometimes, not because you think it's going
like,
to hold.
And they'd be like, why do men don't want to get married?
So the prenup, before you get a prenup, you have to tell your partner all your assets and everything?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
And then in the prenup, all of that's going to be laid out.
What about like future like assets?
Well, unless you could make a determination what we're going to do with that. But if you don't, it's just going to be divided equitably under New Jersey law.
Do you do prenups?
I do. I say that hesitantly because for some clients, I won't do it, or potential clients, because if they come too close to the wedding date, or it just seems like one side is really, if I don't think it can be enforced, and it's going back to what you're saying there, if I really don't feel comfortable, I'm not going to do that, because that's liability. That's you know, that's the lawyer who won't be able to sleep at night because you're worried about whether that's going to uphold.
So you want to make sure you, okay.
Yep.
So when I get my prenup, I got to go to
you. You don't want to rush it. You want there to be enough time for both sides to contemplate it.
About a year?
Well, it depends. You know, depends
on. I need time. I need real time. Like, this is my real life.
Well, because you don't want it to be considered like you're signing under duress. Mm-hmm. Like somebody run up to you the day of the wedding or the like day before and they'll like sign a prenup. You're like, what? I don't know what's going on, but I'm not supposed to get married tomorrow.
Yeah, like I was working with a client and for maybe a couple months, and we were writing up the prenup. She's the one who kind of wanted it and was really to protect her assets. She said, I'm getting married, you know, way out, you know, a couple more months. So we're slowly doing it. Then all of a sudden, I call her and she says, I'm getting married in 2 days. So 2 days.
That's crazy.
I had to bow out. You know, I'm not going to do the prenup because that's not enough time. And I said, well, why? She said, well, here we go. We're going to buy a house together. And he's putting all the money down. And he said, I got to marry him before he does it. Yeah. Sounds crazy. It's true.
So a lot of this sounds like super strategic. And I'm curious as to.
This takes the love out of marriage.
I used to believe in that.
There was love in marriage. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Well, she's the youngest, so you got to.
Marriage is a business.
I'm a sap.
So I got to go into business.
So. I would like to know who files for divorce more than anybody else.
Women, most of the time. Women, the wife. And I wish I had a wonderful answer to why. I think women are just, to some degree, my opinion, they're more meticulous. They're the ones who are already keeping track of all the details in the house anyway. So they're more likely to be the one who is going to actually do the paperwork. I mean, that's my personal anecdotal opinion. You know, I think men may want to, but they are less likely to actually initiate it. They just are.
I just think that women are the more emotional creatures and we get fed up.
If I got my shit, I'm good. You know,
they don't be happy though, because realistically, divorces are at a higher rate on the second, third, fourth, you know, time.
That's true.
So are they really happy or are they just...
But why would we be making that, and I'm saying we because I'm speaking for the woman, but why would we be making that kind of like rash decision based on, not based on us and what we're feeling?
Well, I was actually watching this thing today and it was actually pretty dope because the guy was saying how the divorce rates drop down dramatically when a man is making over $200,000 a year in comparison to all marriages. And men who make, I think, over 7 figures a year is 3 times more likely to cheat, and yet they have the lowest divorce rate.
Well, number one, he's never home. So she's good. That's the first thing.
They also say that's why they cheat too.
I'm saying that in terms of why divorce. And okay, they can afford to have
already,
I'm already
by myself, or, you know, and I can have my own house and you can have your own house, or we can live on the compound and you can be down there. And I think the last part you mentioned about them cheating. I don't know. It's opportunity, you know, it's opportunity and money.
Nothing
and it's just
but time and opportunity
goes along with it.
I feel like women don't care as much if you cheat, if you make a certain amount of money.
And treat her right and respect. To a certain degree.
I'm not saying obviously, like, you know, there's, yes, giving with those context.
Degree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you treat her decent, as to say.
Yeah, the bar is lower.
Pretty low.
It gets low. Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you start looking at, like, the bottom of your shoe is a little.
what are some of the, like, trends that you've seen for women in, you know, this whole stat? First of all, they'd be like, oh, 90% of women. It's not 90%. It's like 67%, first of all, for like 2023. But like, we'll say nearly 70% of women initiate a divorce. Do you see any particular pattern among some of your recent divorces as to why women are deciding to do it?
Well, yes. And I'm going to go back to what something you said where you mentioned that making a hasty decision for divorce. I think women, it's not hasty. They've been festering on that for a long time before they even say to him or whoever that they're actually going to get the lawyer. So the process may seem like it went fast, but I think that they've already decided in their head a long time ago that they're done. And so the trends is it's kind of that they're fed up. They've tried everything. They've told their partner, here are the things I need. Maybe they even tried therapy or some type of counseling. Didn't work. And they still aren't seeing the change. And maybe the kids are older. My personal experience is around 10. When the kids are around 10, I told somebody this. I looked at my cases. And one year I had my kid plays basketball. And like half the team, I think I'd helped them with the divorce of some sort on one side.
Wow.
And they were, it's like this around 10 or 11 years old, you start to see families having tension. And I think that's one of the trends too, in terms of women. It might be because now the kids are older or they're more independent and you're now able to look at yourself and say, all right, I'm not just child rearing. Let me figure out what I'm going to do.
So we've been talking a lot about the men. Oh. Like, what do you see as far as trends with respect to men who file for divorce?
If they're actually filing.
If.
Because you don't get that a lot.
Not as much. You know, they usually got somebody that pressured them because they've got another person. You know, there's pressure.
You better leave her.
Make yourself available.
Yep.
For the next, you know.
If you really love me, get a divorce.
There's pressure on that.
But you know, I love you.
Or the wife is overspending ridiculously.
Oh, yeah. I know. I can
overspending,
understand.
That's what they divorce for?
Overspend. What I mean, it would have to significantly overspending.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
His money.
Yeah.
Like if it's a situation where he's the primary.
Their money.
I don't like that laugh that you do.
Because it is their money.
I'd be that guy. I would be that guy. Overspending would cause me to divorce you. Like, oh, you just don't care.
And then the other part of it, no intimacy, no sex.
For the guy?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons, main reason that a guy would get divorced.
I won't say it's the main reason, but I see that's one of the things you see, or at least that's what they tell you. That's what, and the divorce attorney, that's what you hear. Not that it's a ground for divorce and that they're saying that, but more or less, there haven't been any intimacy, that no one does anything together. But usually the guy is thinking of it in terms of sex intimacy. The woman is thinking of it in terms of, we don't do anything together anymore. We live separate lives.
We don't do dates. Doesn't touch me.
Apple picking is fun, though.
He just comes home and goes right to sleep.
Yeah.
Doesn't ask me how's my day. Doesn't touch me.
No intimacy or any of that. Just kind of dies out.
Yeah.
Children are wonderful, but they can bring stress into the relationship. And a lot of what you just described is what we see in families when they're children, because that children become the focal point. And then over time, when no one does anything about that, the child starts to get a little more independent when they get to that nice little upper elementary age. And now the parents are like, oh, we got to look at each other again, because now Johnny can go play and I don't have to be attentive to the child as much. And now I don't like you anymore.
You want to hear something funny?
I'm not mad at
that. Where's she lied at?
That makes a lot of sense.
My grandparents were married till my grandfather died. Long time, I don't know, like 50, yeah, at least 50 years, actually. And my grandfather has pretty much always been a truck driver. Then when he wasn't truck driving, he ended up being a diesel mechanic. Then when he retired from that, he went back on the road, just kind of like part-time or whatever. And so my grandmother, like when he was at the house, she was like, you can't be here that long. Like, I think they didn't really know how to like really be together every single day. You know, like maybe 3-4 days, you know, my grandfather goes on the road or, you know, X, Y, and Z. But when they were both retired, literally like at the house every day, it was an issue. And my grandma was a hell raiser. So I think that's what made my grandfather go out and get like a little part-time
job. You are your grandma, grandbaby.
What'd you say?
She said you got it from your grandma.
So, I
was crazy. First of all, I could imagine Aaron saying something like that.
Like what?
You can't be here that long. Like, Aaron, did you think about it?
I mean, if that's the case, to be honest, I would just remove myself. Like, I wouldn't say that. But I'm just saying, I think a lot of people really aren't, and you said this earlier about COVID, we're not really used to like being around each other. Mm-hmm. People always ask me and my husband, you don't want to work at the family business? I'm like, no. I need my life with my friends, my family, with my own thing, because I think it would probably lead to resentment or lead to like, because I don't have like we at work, we only talk about work. No, because if you didn't do something at the house last night, I'm going to tell you at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh,
like
shit.
But that's what I'm saying. Yo. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of like bleed over, you know, and I would not be willing to keep them separate, you know.
Yeah.
And having your own life makes for a better divorce. Coming from the divorce attorney.
Tell me. Tell us. Let us
no,
know.
True. Because, like, what if you were a part of the family business and you guys did decide to
I'm
get a divorce?
They're working.
Well, God forbid, but.
You're going to be
it's going to be.
Pills and stress pills.
Yeah, it's like stress. Hard to separate. Now you always got to be around your ex-husband and his, you know, his family and his family business.
HR?
HR.
Okay.
Yeah. The truth is, when you get divorced, most of the time, you're kind of living, you're going to separate that. Yep. There's a few people out there who really can kind of keep it together as a unit, and they're friendly and everybody gets along, even their new partners, but that's not
that's
the norm.
Cute. That's so weird to me.
It is cute though. I
me
do
and my
like
girl
it.
One time, my bad.
No, I think so. I think it's beautiful to see people coexist in the same
that
house.
Sounds stupid.
But why no, not? It don't sound stupid. Real. It's why real not? Mature though.
Because like for example,
just
right?
Go your own way.
Me and my girl, she's a Gemini. That's why she said this shit. Like, we got into a really big fight one time. And she was like, all right, now we have kids together. We're not married, but. And we were talking about, all right, cool. Well, if we separate, how do we do this? And then she had the nerve to ask me, she was like, well, can we still do like Disney cruises as a family? I said, we are not a family once you are gone.
You are a family.
Wait, big no, no, fight no. on a what
you
if?
You are an extension.
Your family.
Of my child, but you are not my family. So, like, and I can't, like, for me, I'm not doing that because I tell you what, me, I am going to bring my new girl around. I am not going to want to be around you and your new man. So, for me to understand that, like what you may want is not, doesn't make sense for both parties. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would be damned if I had to take my sunglasses off. I want you to understand. I would be damned if I had a child with a woman and we were together and separated for whatever reason, and then I am on a Disney cruise with her and her new fiance with my child. That sounds psychotic to me.
Not really.
What if you bring your girl with you? Your new girl.
It's still psychotic. Why am I conjoining extended lives together?
Well, to be honest, I just feel like new families will create.
Fight, but just like.
No, but you can create boundaries and you can, you know, talk about what you're okay with versus what you're not okay with. But I feel like being in a house, like, say, for example, you have your daughter and you got to go to your, you know, her mom's crib to drop her off, and you know her new man is there. Like, it's nothing for you guys to be in the same room and say, hey, what's up, you know, tell them what went on at your house and what, you know, what needs to happen with her throughout the week based on what you know. And you got to be able to communicate with, you know, this, you know, her mom.
I am not built for co-parenting. I'm telling you that.
Oh,
right.
Wait,
now
wait. Yeah, okay. And there you go, segue, because she's you.
It's interesting because as a divorce attorney, everything you just said is kind of what I won't say you're taught to say, or what, you know, those are the things, the good things you're supposed
poetic.
To.
Poetic.
The bullshit.
It's poetic, but not realistic.
Thank you.
It can be.
But after I got divorced myself, I had a whole different perspective. And it really changed my approach on that. And the way I look at it is kind of where you're at. Just keep it separate. Because if the other person, if no one has any new people, it's all fine. Mm-hmm. And I hear that a lot. It's like, oh, it's great. Co-parenting is wonderful. They came over to the house, like you said. Soon as there's a new love interest.
Talk about it.
It's all kind of hell.
They don't like that.
People start calling. There's a problem. Now we want to change. Now,
why is there an issue?
Now we want to change the custody. Now we want to do change parenting. I don't like him or her. Why are they with my child more than I am with my own child?
My
like,
Right.
So I would just say it's harder. It's easy to say, but
as it's harder to live.
Oh my God, it's harder to live.
But why?
Because you're looking at your.
I hate the other person.
Okay, well, I can.
Why?
I mean, some people just don't vibe.
Some people are bitter.
Yeah, that's it.
Some people are bitter.
Yeah, we can talk about.
Some people are fucking bitter.
Bitter baby mama, bitter baby daddy. And Rome done looked in the camera, so y'all know. Y'all know who he.
Just bitter, like move the fuck on.
No, it's definitely true. But I, Rome.
I'm just saying, get you a fucking man.
You need a.
Uh huh.
No.
Uh huh.
You say that. You gonna get them.
Rome is a daddy. Rome is a daddy.
No, I'm just saying, like if you your kid is fine, your kid don't come home hurt, and then like.
Is that the bar?
I'm just saying, your kid is. Yep. But think about it. If when this happens, I'm sorry, y'all.
Clearly.
Wait, take a break.
When this happens, when people separate, right, and you have kids together, if you have a problem with how this person is still around your kid, then you would say something. You would say like, "Oh, they're police. This person's harmed my child," but you don't say that. It comes home fine. Man gets a new wife, gets a new girlfriend, whatever. Now the kid's got all these problems, and you're a liar.
Because there's my drama.
There's competition.
There's no competition. I left you.
That's the way people feel.
Ooh! Rome, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm saying, let's move on. You go do you, and you're already bitter. You're going to be bitter, all right? And.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. Talk that shit.
Just move on. Everybody moves on. Like, how long are you going to be stuck? You know, I don't want you.
But I think that's the thing.
Stuck and fight till the kid's 18.
But no, honestly. Okay, go ahead.
Real quick, I just realized something. Just because we're separated doesn't mean we've moved on. And I think that's why it works.
That's true.
Once you see that I have moved on and progressed, that's when you understand we are now separated. Mm-hmm. But you don't understand separation when you still coming over and we still having family dinners every Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But when separation happens is when you're now have to respect different boundaries because of another person, another entity, whatever that may be. That
no, yeah, because sometimes that's the environment with your baby daddy or your baby mama. Like, there's always some, like, still some kind of tension or still kind of, like, sexual involvement where you guys probably think that you guys might get back together, which is why always beware of people with kids. But Rome, not you. No. Everybody but Rome.
No. Right. Literally. Same.
Everybody but Rome.
I've had some people get divorced and they're the person, they're still sleeping with the divorced person.
See, so it's like
married to somebody else. Sure. It happens.
Right. So it's like when you get a new partner, like, sometimes it just creates jealousy within the whole, like, dynamic now. And that's why you don't like the new girl, or that's why you don't want your kids spending too much time, or, you know, don't bring your girl or any girls around my kid.
She might cook better than me.
Right. Or my kid.
She do cook better. Not might. She do cook better.
Or my kid might actually like her and want to be over there all the time, and she might start calling her mommy. That's not your mommy.
That's problematic. Come on. Yeah.
No, that is problematic.
If you a kid and you start calling somebody else mama, that's a problem.
Yeah, but
they cheered Ciara on. And
if you, like, I'm saying a man, I'm not going to let you call who's not your mother, your mother. Like, I'm going to step on this to let you call her that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I'm keeping it separate. I'm sorry. I'm keeping it separate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my job to do that and say, like, you know, that's not your mother. You can't do that.
So this is my perspective.
Move I'm going to cry. You're going to have to call him.
That's why you're missing the mic.
You're going to have to call my new girl SM.
No, you just
as a stepmom
her name or auntie.
Don't
like
I don't
his dude.
No, I think like it's just that, like, appropriate for you to
don't call my
new
girl
person.
Auntie. Like, I like listen. I understand it. I am not your child's uncle, and you are not my child's auntie because we are fucking. You understand? And that's weird.
It's more of a, no. I think, like, and I just said this, like, for Caribbeans, I think it's like it's more of like a respect thing.
It is a respect thing, but not in that scenario. Like, if you're
I can't say my name since I was a little.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, if your parents are dating someone, like, you'll that's typically call them by their names. If you're like parents' friends, of course you'll call them auntie or, you know, somebody.
No, I know for a fact. Yeah, like you just say auntie, like the Caribbean. Well, maybe not your Caribbean. Like the Caribbeans I know, like out of respect or a miss.
Yeah, but like not someone that your parents are dating.
Well, no, married. No, like the new, like.
The new wife, the stepmom. The
new stepmother or stepfather. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You do have
not.
To be careful what your child calls that other person.
Yeah.
From a legal standpoint, because that. Really? That will be one of the things asked, you know, and if and if the child is, as you would say, being allowed to call the other person mom or dad and they're not the mom or dad, that's a strike against you. You know, that kind of hurts you.
Really?
Is it because you're not making the distinction?
Right.
Okay.
What if I did something like Mima?
Mm-mm.
What?
That's like grandma.
That's, yeah.
Listen. Yeah.
Your name is Lisa.
That is grandma, but like I'm trying to figure out a different way.
That's it.
As an example.
I don't know, but if I'm like 47 and you like 13, you're not finna call me by my first name.
I am.
You're not.
I am.
Wait, time out. I got lost in
the
example.
I'm gonna tell my daddy I'm not calling that lady Auntie Erin.
I'm like, cool. Just don't have her around when I'm here. That's all.
Okay.
Bye, little bitch.
Bye, Erin.
Bye, little bitch.
I think it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, I don't
let my parents get remarried. I'm giving them bitches
that
hell.
Right there actually is an issue in some of the custody battles because one parent is saying they can call someone else by their first name, and the other person says, no, they have to use Ms., like put something in front of it. And that might be why they got divorced or they're not together anymore because they have different parenting styles.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it is conflicting against what the parents are telling the child.
Like, we're not age mates. You're not going to call me by my first name.
Can we actually touch on that real quick? Because like I had this theory and I was like, I really don't think that people should be married before they have kids. Like, because like one of the hardest things to do is to accept the parenting style of somebody that you never knew was a parent. And, like, in my own relationship, it was a whole bunch of hurdles that we had to climb over to come to an agreement on how we're going to raise our children because we do it differently. And I can see that a lot of people, you know, just from my experience, I'm not saying that it happens, but I can see it if a lot of people will then have a whole different type of, like, issue with each other because of the way that each other parents.
Oh, yeah. That's a... I like what you said at the end. I'm not so sure I agree that you shouldn't be.
And not the premise.
You shouldn't be.
Because I just don't understand. Like, the thing is, you don't know somebody until you have that child.
That's true. Like, there needs to be some way to learn the parenting style. But I think in the new world, the modern world, we move different places. We don't know the whole history or know anything about that person, even just in a circular fashion. But I'm thinking about, I grew up in North Carolina, small town. You might not have known, you know, Steve or whoever, but I know all of Steve's family. Like, you know something about them to give you some semblance of,
you know,
maybe
gentle parenting.
Yeah. Right. How they might go about things.
That's why I practice. You guys gotta practice a little bit. You know, you see when like couples like move in together before they get married or they
get
have
a baby
kids.
Doll? Like, get out of here, man.
No. And you know, they call it playing house. Like, you know, you come so over you all the time. That. Yeah, get a kid. You got a little cousin, you got Like, bring them over so I see how you are with the kids. That's like, you know what I'm saying?
Though. Wait, guys. I just want to make this disclosure. Amanda still watches Disney.
What?
That's why she wants to play house.
So this is
First
the point
of all,
that I
everybody
to make
knows
earlier.
Those two movies. So like, Rico, you said you're not family. And this is coming from my experience growing up with my parents, right? Regardless of whatever happened between them, when it came to me, both of them had to be there. Yeah. So my graduation, they're there. My wedding, they're there. My scholarship presentation, they're there. My debutante ball, they're there. Like, whatever. And the things I knew to beef, whatever the beef was, they still had to figure out how to coexist. Because at the end of the day, they are family. If there was something that happened with me or something that happened with my mom, my dad's not going to be like, oh, man, fuck your mama. He's going to be like, so, Erin, what do you need me to do? Because I understand it's your mama. Like, that's like, you know, a couple years ago, we had Thanksgiving at my grandma's house. I was like, Daddy, you want to come over? My daddy was right there, probably two people down from my mama. Like, at the end of the day, that's my mama, my daddy, and my grandma. So I can invite whoever the fuck I want to invite. You understand what I'm saying? So I think that you are family. Whether you choose to partake in it is different, but you're going to miss out on something with respect to your child.
My sister, right? My sister.
You're welcome.
I have a good family dynamic, though.
I don't agree. Yeah, I might say.
I don't think.
Because who's grandma? I mean, well, your grandma, but whose mother?
It's my mama's mama.
And so you see, like, if they had beef, like, would your, well, obviously your mom was okay with you inviting your dad, but maybe that wouldn't be the case for everybody. Like, this is my mama house. Don't invite your dad over here.
You all sound very civil.
Well, the beef isn't.
Because some families, they would have been fighting.
I'm listening.
The beef is not between the grandparents or aunties and uncles or whatever.
Oh, I know.
Like, I could literally be at my uncle's house in Houston right now, my dad's brother. We kicking it, having a drink. And he'd be like, where your mom at? I'd be like, oh, you know, let me tell her to come over here. And my mom will go over to my dad's brother's house, and we'll all just be kicking and having a good time. Because, one, they've known each other since they were, like, I don't know, in their 20s or whatever, you know. And I guess they all have good relationships. Whatever beef is literally between my mom and my dad. It has nothing to do with my grandparents, nobody else.
Yeah, but your family has been merged. Both families have already been merged. So that's why there's only beef with just them two. So if my family is separate from whomever's family, right, and me and her have beef, my family doesn't have any loyalty or any connections and ties to her and her family. So there's no reason for them to be blended anyways. Yeah. So
yeah, that's kind of what I was saying earlier about the fact that I think the world is different now. We are nuclear, more nuclear than we used to be. And there's no history. There's no backstory. All of that just isn't there. And it's easier for families to separate or just fall out of it. They just fall out of it.
Kids involved?
Yeah. If you're civil. So then you add families that are got real problems.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, there's some that feel like, hey, you know, you broke up with so-and-so and all of us are going to hate you. And we're going to make your life hell because, hey, you divorced my, you know, the person, or maybe you cheated and everybody's mad about it.
Well, if you cheat on me and steal my money, my family better
you're
hate
still
you.
On that.
Yeah, my family better hate you.
How does it come down to
it's the my
kid?
Side or hers?
Like,
I'll give you an example. My sister, right? Her and her son's father are haven't been together for 10 years, mm-hmm. right? They have a football game. She doesn't tell him about the football game because they're at such odds. He's married to another woman. She communicates to the other woman about what's going on.
I hate that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, woman.
Because she doesn't fuck with her stepmom. Well, they both refuse to speak to each other.
I think if you're the parent,
You should be
the one communicating.
But that's also still being civil, and some people aren't civil.
And that shit is, but there's, right. but I, and mind you, they've had a history of shit that they did to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no coming back from it. So like, and their families, and it's weird too, because like even for his birthday last year, right? Her son's birthday.
Oh, okay.
We all went to, he had a birthday party at this big arcade space, right? And they rented out this whole hall, whatever. But half of the room was over here with the mom's family. Half of the room was over there with the dad's family. Nobody spoke to each other.
I'm surprised they didn't have two birthday parties.
I was like,
that's what happens a lot.
It seems like that makes the most sense, I guess.
No, the only reason why they didn't, because I asked that question. I was like, yo, there's still tension over here. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can feel it. It's not like it's cool. The kids still don't feel it because they already out in the playhouses and all this extra.
Like, where the tickets at?
Yeah. Give me the card.
It's right. Like, yeah, you're right. The card.
So, but like, you can still see the two families are at odds. And realistically, it's like, it's cheaper. Right? Why have two birthdays? We could just both put our money in. We could be cordial. But we are not going to speak. Like, we're not going to do anything. And that's, I think, and mind you, they're from the same area.
Different situations because your family's never blended. Well, their family's never.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Their family's never blended, and they don't really know each other that well. So it's just like, okay, well, I'm here with him. So, you know, this is where he's at. This is where I'm at. And, I'm here with her. So is that how it is?
Nah, so the funny thing is, so we're all from the same town, and our town is small, right?
Cataracts?
No, it's, well, we're first of all,
wait.
One, it's Carteret.
Oh, Carteret.
Two, no. So, like, where I'm originally from is Perth Amboy, right?
Oh.
So, now, that's where everybody in Perth Amboy is, like, mm-hmm. blended. You damn near related, realistically. So, now, the thing is, yeah, because everybody is, like, it's weird. The family was blended, right? Like, they were cool. But the thing is, at the end of the day, when you tell your problems to your parents. Your parents are, especially if they find it disrespectful or whatever. Now they're going to hate just as much as you are, right? Now, if it wasn't a real problem, like, let's just say me and her were just arguing about parenting skills, that's whatever. You get past it. But when it's like, oh, you did that to my son? Oh, you did that to my daughter? Oh, then you did this and then you did that? Then the whole family's just like damn near about to fight. Yeah. You know what I mean? But obviously they don't. But that's why it's hard to be blended, because realistically, I know as a father, if my daughter was married and she got divorced and she told me a list of things that this man did to my daughter, you think I'm about to be cool with this nigga?
I don't know.
I was just like, it's just, it's the respect thing.
Bro.
I think it,
my lawyer, yo, first of all, my daughter's an Aries, right? My daughter is not going to be okay with me chilling with the ops, right? So, like, and at some point, I'm not going to cause, see, for me, I could want to hang out with you, right? And I might never have an issue with you.
Your little, like, junior best friend.
Yeah, but at the same time, when I have somebody who is my immediate family, especially, I'm not going to...
She's not your immediate family.
No, no, I'm talking about, like, my sister. I mean, my sister, my daughter. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be at odds with my blood that I really, really love just for a friendship that I desire. And I think, like, because that's something that is irreplaceable.
That's you.
Yeah, that's just me.
I kind of see that way, but I just...
Because I'm a real OG, though. You got to understand. A lot of people ain't like, real OGs, Miss Fawn.
No, it is like a real strict loyalty, right? It's a real strict loyalty that Rico's talking about right now. But I feel like there's also a sense of maturity that it just says that, like, no, you don't have to create a friendship, or if you did have a friendship with your daughter's now ex-husband or, you know, whatever... Maybe that friendship won't continue, but it would be nothing for you guys to be in the same room and say, hey, man, like, what's up? How, you know, how's everything going? Like, that's just mature. You don't be like, all right, he did that to my daughter. I ain't fuck with him. I'm not going over there to him. It's just like a little bit mature. Just
you don't got a kid. But
it's not even, but I have sisters, I have aunties, and I've done this. Like, I ride really hard for my family, my sisters, period. My aunt, first of all, it was just the way I was raised. I called my aunt by her first name just because she was so young when I was born, right?
How many
so
years?
That was, doesn't matter because you're going to try to Southern me talk about, you're supposed to call her auntie.
No, I'm not, because I have an auntie who's 13 years older than me and I call her by her first name.
Okay, she's 19 years older than me.
She's your fucking aunt. Yeah, she's your.
That's why I was like,
she was so
matter.
Young when I was born.
It doesn't matter.
She was an adult.
She's literally an adult. My in sixth grade or something.
Like.
Well, anyways, all of my mom's siblings, I treat like my siblings, like, because they were all very young. They were. So my aunt, she had this boyfriend, and he was our neighbor, so he was very close, and we knew all the drama, whatever. And I used to be having her back, like, don't let him do that to you. Like, we not fucking with him. Like, I used to be like that. And mind you, I was only, like, 15 years old. Like, look it. She was to come for me so bad.
She was,
so
she was in her 40s? 30s?
How old was she?
15?
I don't know.
She was 34 years old. She was 34 years old.
Yeah, I don't think she needed you.
Yeah. She didn't.
You better leave my auntie alone.
She did not need me, but that's just the type of person I was with my sisters as well. But it's like this day and age, I would not do that. Like, you got something going on with your baby father? Like, I'll still see him because I do see him. We're neighbors, like, and I know his whole family. I will still say hello. I'm not on the same, like, you did that to my auntie, so I'm not.
I don't think that's nice.
It's my family dynamic.
Yeah, but there's certain things that you're not coming back from. Like, for example, if somebody cheats on you, who the fuck cares, right? If somebody hits you and beat your child, you know, look at that way different.
But I think they're going to be in jail.
No, I mean.
They're not.
And if like, even if they're not.
No, I'm saying like.
Maybe, but.
Like, I'm talking about an adult. Like, all right.
Those are two different situations.
No, they're not. What I'm trying to say is that there is an extreme, and that's not even really an extreme because it's very common. Domestic violence is very common. So when you get into the realm of, oh, such and such put their hands on my daughter or she tried to stab my son, and then it gets to a whole point where it's not being civil no more.
It's different. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you cheat on my son or you cheat on my daughter, all right, I can live on it. But when you start causing harm to my family, that's when everything changes, and that's when being civil is, like, out of the window. Now, you might be able to be mature enough to not respond,
No, but that's why I'm saying it's different. Like, cheating on somebody or like doing little tit for tats between y'all and y'all relationship, like, cool, you don't fuck with that person no more because y'all in this little tit for tat business, then fine. I'm still mature enough to say hello. But something as bad as you putting your hands on somebody, you stabbing somebody, like, that is an extreme.
That is
everybody
normal.
Is going to want fucking blood if you're not in jail.
Like, domestic violence is very high.
It's prevalent. The other thing is that sometimes you're talking about siding with your family, your blood, but
what if they wrong?
Well,
I ain't siding on
it. It might not be wrong, but sometimes those friendships on your end, where you said that the other families, they're friends or they hang out, that becomes a wedge because you've got maybe my ex is friends with my family, and now it's like, am I in the family still? And like, you know, everywhere I go, I got to see the ex, see this person there. Right.
You really?
It didn't happen to me.
People feel like that?
I actually have one of my friends.
Yeah.
You actually met him. He had an issue with his friends and family because him and this one girl had a bunch of different things that they went through. They finally broke up and they refused to stop bringing her around to family gatherings. So he started to not be around his family because they wanted to keep somebody that he felt uncomfortable to be around.
I was literally just thinking that. Like, you were confused, but I would feel some type of way too, because if I don't talk to this person and you guys still feel like he's family enough to still like have him around, maybe what if I get so uncomfortable that I don't want to come to the family events? Because if I know he's going to be in the same room, I'm not going to want to be there.
I guess you ain't going to be there.
Not even about the no communication. Like I said, I have no problem with you guys talking to him when you need to. It's about being around. So if you know that I don't fuck with him, right? Like, let there be boundaries. Don't be inviting him to our family barbecues or to Thanksgiving. Like,
can they texting him like every?
I don't think that's necessary too. Like, you like don't no, but you. Like personal friendships. There's no reason to have a personal friendship if you see him.
Well,
we all broke up. Like, broke up. I don't think y'all understand that.
Yes,
this is the problem with that. When you bring somebody around your family and you integrate them into your family, these people create, personal friendships and relationships with these people. And so it's very hard to require somebody to just totally, you know, divest themselves of that. So
you see, like, if you text him because you know he works in construction or something, or not construction, who the fuck needs information about construction? But
he's an electrician.
He's an electrician, and your homeboy...
Stop using my shit, first of all.
He's an electrician, and your homeboy needs an electrician to fix something in your house, and you're just like, oh, well, you know, my sister, X-Man, you know, do that. So, like, I'm going to hit him up and blah, blah, blah. Like, if you need him for anything, like, you know him personally, so it's like you can hit him up. But, like, hitting him up to be like, yo, let's go catch a game on Friday... Like, you don't need to do that.
Let me tell you
about
my family.
Yeah, but that shit never stops like that.
let me tell you about my family. So I think some lights need, when my grandmother was still alive, like some lights needed to be replaced in the house. And I was like, my grandma's like, Aaron, tell your daddy, because my dad's an electrician, like a real live electrician.
A real live one.
Yeah. Like with a license and shit. Like, not Rico's made up, whatever.
I don't know why they thought that was my career, but it's all right. Go ahead.
They didn't see it was chopped, you know. And so my grandma be like, oh, can you call your dad? I'm like, yeah, let me call him. I'm like, daddy, can you come up? When he was still like willing to do stuff at people's houses, I'm like, daddy, can you come over to my grandma's house to do X, Y, and Z? And he'd come. And if he couldn't come, he'd send like somebody that he trusted to go do the work. Like, I think that the fact that My parents like kind of were together kind of like in early, like in their 20s, and I won't even say our families were integrated, but I would say that like if something happened to one of my uncles, my dad would go to the funeral. My dad was at both of my grandparents' funerals. I'm sure if his parents died, my mom would be at both of them. You know, I just feel like there's a certain level of like, you know what? This is still my granddaughter and that's her daddy. This is still my granddaughter and that's her mama, you know? So, and I know it was some drama that went on with them, and I think eventually everybody knew the drama, but it's just hard.
Those are good goals. But we can say those are goals.
But I'm not even saying this in the sense that my parents are just so fucking involved. They're not.
Oh, I don't mean in a bad way. I'm saying actually that would be a good goal for divorcing families to strive. Aspire to, you know, toward.
To be civil.
But it may take, well, first you got to first get the civility and then just the time. Time, so time does
yeah, I'm not
help
doing
a lot of things. I'm
like my grandmother, yeah. So my mom and my father weren't together. And even though my father was absent, but that's, I feel like the difference is my father was absent, but the rest of my family on his side was like, fuck that, we still gonna be here. So like my grandmother was still there.
That's very different.
Right. Yeah. And you know, like my aunt, my uncles, like they're my cousins, like my aunt's kids who are older, but like they're like my uncles and they were 19 years older than me.
And you called them uncle.
Actually, I call them by their name, but like they all watched me and everything too. So like even though my dad wasn't there, his whole family was always there because my mom, first of all, had me by herself, like, you know, with nobody there. So when my grandmother was getting sick and everything on my dad's side, my mom was still visiting the nursing homes and she still went to the funerals. She still kept in communication. She still talked to, you know, that whole side of my family, even though her and my dad don't see eye to eye. You know what I mean? But I feel like it's only because they stepped up and they said, yo, forget whatever he's doing. We're still going to be here. And I think that's how you can, that's how they were able to have like a civil way about going things, right? Which eventually probably helped my mother and my father get to a point where they can actually be cordial, you know? Mm-hmm. But if they would have never did that, I know, like, type of way my mom is. My mom would be like, I'm not going to none of their funerals or none of their situations.
God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever. Like, I'm not going to lie. That's how I think, too. Like, if I have no real strings attached to you, I'm not one of those empaths. I can't feel bad for something that I don't care for.
Agreed.
Right? Yeah. And it's not a negative thing, but if me and my wife divorce and I never got along with her brother, we got kids, and her brother was to pass, I will not feel inclined to go.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? But that's just me. Now, I don't wish that upon anybody.
Right.
But you get what I'm saying? Like, it's not for me. It wouldn't even move me. I'd send my condolences through a text, by as far as I'll go. Fawn Dyer?
Yes.
Right?
D-I or D-Y?
D-Y.
By the way, one of the great people that I study in my life that I talk to Marie about all the time is Wayne Dyer. Are you familiar with him?
I'm familiar with him.
He's a dope guy.
Are you related to him?
No.
I was like, the way she said it, she's like, I'm familiar.
There's a lot of people say that.
Yeah, yeah. You got a great last name. Okay. Anywho.
That's my ex-husband's name.
Ooh.
Swear to God.
Wayne Dyer?
No, Dyer.
Oh, you kept it?
Yeah.
Wait, is he related to him?
No.
Okay, all right. Don't do that to me.
He's from Newark. Are they from Newark?
He's from Newark?
Wait. You said it like she shouldn't have kept his name. I'm just curious.
Why you have to have like that energy? I'm just.
No. She said, wait, hold on.
Wait, hold on. Time out. You know what? You did keep his name.
Yes.
Why?
Because we were married for 15 years.
And she's
almost 15.
Known as Fawn Dyers now?
Exactly. I got married to him in law school.
Like during that time. Oh, so your degree actually said
Dyer. So I was already, you know.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Although I considered going back.
Yeah.
I considered it because I, you know, you hate them that much. So you want to get rid of the name. You want to get rid of
it. You got to talk about your hatred.
My grandma kept her name. She's been divorced forever.
Then after a while, I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep it. It was primarily for professional reasons. But then I thought about it. My children have the name, you know. So that kind of makes it easier in life. You'd be surprised how many times you get asked differently about
what they want to call you.
Just filling out insurance enrollments at your job. If the name doesn't match, now you have to add about four or five other pieces of information.
Or when you take your kids on vacation and they want to know why you don't have the same last name.
Yeah.
Going through customs. Because we live in America.
Yeah.
Relax. So the question, we have a couple questions, right?
Okay.
Or a couple of different topics that we want to jump on. But the first one is about the misinformation that we probably hear on social media about divorce. What exactly about the misinformation on divorce? Like, what do you see?
I think what we all see right now is a lot of social media posts that talk about narcissism and related to relationships and divorce. And I think in court, you really don't want to say that because the misinformation is, well, the alleged misinformation is that what they're telling you is not maybe not it may not necessarily be true from a mental health professional standpoint. And so there's so much of it to the point that I was actually talking to someone and they were speaking about narcissism. And I'm like, I know exactly who you watch on. I could tell who they watch because of the way they were talking.
Damn.
And so that's problematic. And it made me, it's funny you asked this question because I was thinking about it, that if I have a client and we're in court and you start testifying, if you start sounding like the social media.
Damn, we gotta shut down social media.
So
I wonder how many people.
That's one of the big topics. I think that there's a lot of misinformation that's out there that people are relying on. I mean, but it gets the views. I mean, the other side of it.
It don't help in real life though.
Yeah. No. I wish somebody would say, "Hey, I tried that narcissist shit in court and it didn't work." Like, and then everybody would stop. You know, they'll figure out a different word. You know, misogynist.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean, and I'm going to be clear here, though. It doesn't mean that those quote-unquote narcissists aren't doing some really bad stuff and they should be getting dragged around in court. They should be. It's just that you can't call it that. You know, you're not the expert. So you have to just focus on what you see, what are the actual behaviors or
right.
whatever.
It's like, who are you to, it? Like... Right. Labeled someone as a narcissist.
You can't diagnose somebody.
Yeah. Right. Is it a diagnosis?
I don't know. I'm not that. Is it?
Well, no, she's in that space.
Yeah. Narcissistic personality disorder. So, and it'd be like, yo, you have a degree in communications trying to diagnose this man.
Like, I watch YouTube just like you.
Yes.
My therapist actually told me that.
Right.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of relationship coaches and everybody.
Did you guys
TikTok.
See
or social media?
I don't know if you mind putting your input, but if you don't, it's okay.
I don't mind.
If you saw the viral clips that's been going on recently with Tyrese's ex-wife.
Some of them.
Okay, so like I'm just gonna, you know, give you a brief synopsis.
Oh, because she did mention.
So she got a divorce, obviously, with him. She had a lot of different people and other factors who were influencing her divorce. And then she said that, you know, the divorce was ultimately something that she didn't want to do. And if she was to be asked to do it all over again, would she? And she, you know, opted out. So one of the questions that I want to ask is misinformation on social media, but also, I guess, wrong influential people that you listen to, even off of social media. Have you seen that be an impact on and off social media and some of the clients that you've had?
Yeah, and clients are just friends in life in general. I think your friend group, whatever you consider that group to be, they will definitely kind of push you. You have family members, I never liked that person, you know, or it's really something else that their agenda. And it's hard. It's hard. You know, I've been divorced, so I can say that there's always somebody who is pushing for you to, you need to stop. You need to get out of that. But you have to really take a step back and, think for yourself. Some people get back together. Some people don't.
I wanted to actually ask that question, but the people like that you had two questions, the people that you've had, you know, worked with, how often do you, one, see them get back together after you help them finish the divorce? And then the other question was, after they do make a divorce or do, you know, go through with a divorce with the wrong influential factors in their ears, have they ever came back to you to say that they regretted it?
On the first one, there are a good number of people that get married again.
A good number?
That I've seen. And I'm not saying I've done a whole lot of cases in my lifetime, but I've had a good number of people that get remarried.
Why?
And then some of them get divorced again.
Oh,
damn.
I have
money,
one right now.
Yes.
We're doing the second divorce. So
damn, that is so much money.
It does happen. Wow. And then in terms of the influential factors, I think the social media problem with divorce is that you're looking at social media and you don't know what state you're looking at, you know, family law is specific to each state.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you, if I'm talking to you and you live in Georgia, I'm not a Georgia attorney, but, you know, they have different laws in terms of how custody works. And, the you know, the, it, from my understanding, to some degree, it might be that, you know, the mother has certain rights off the bat. Whereas in New Jersey, that's not the case. So, and it's very different. And you might have Washington State, for example, where they're going to definitely have a 50-50 parenting plan, and then you're going to work backwards from there. Like, they're going to, you know, have it that way. So I think the misinformation is that you don't really know who you're looking at in terms of where, unless you really read or if the person says it directly. Mm-hmm. And just in our lives, I think we take information, but we don't know what we don't know. And you don't know that that state, it doesn't apply here. So you say, well, I got divorced and I got half. Well, maybe you're in a community property state, you know, but maybe here you're not in this state. You're going to get something different.
Have you ever had a situation where there's two pets and one gets one pet, the other gets another, the other pet? Or
oh, yeah.
Pets go.
Oh, we had the plan. You got to have a plan. You can have a back and forth.
Wait, you had a shared you had a shared pet custody battle?
Yes.
Did you lose your dog?
And sometimes we write it in there with the child.
I know a couple not married doing that.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't give. I'm not losing my dog for nobody. Like,
but seriously though, I mean, it really it'll be in there because sometimes because the children so that they have the pet. So then you have to write it in there because maybe one parent's, I'm not bringing that pet, you know, I'm not going to. So you put it in that, okay, when the children go, the pet goes. And then I had one where we made a plan for exactly who was going to pay for the pet expenses going forward. And I don't have a pet. I had one with the first marriage and that didn't work out.
Are you still married?
No.
Oh, so you divorced twice.
Yeah.
Were they similar?
She said, yeah. Were they the same person?
No.
Were they the same person in a different
that's
body?
That's a good question, though. Were they similar?
Say that again.
Were they the same person in
like,
a different
were
body?
Were you the divorce
actually,
Mary,
no.
Mary?
The were they, one was a Libra, one was an Aries.
Same person.
None were Sagittarius.
Right.
Yeah.
She said no.
Being a divorce attorney, would you get married again?
I never say never, because lawyers never say never. We don't speak in absolutes. But think so. I think, first of all, I don't want to share anything else with anybody, financially or anything.
You want a little friend?
I don't want to. Okay. Here's, yeah, kind
you want
of.
A pet.
Because.
No, that's not what a little
friend. That's what a pet is to me.
Yeah, because.
A little friend.
A little friendly pet.
Yeah, yeah. Because after you start living on your own by yourself again, you're comfortable. You know, after at first it was odd because it's like, all right, maybe I need someone here. You know, you've been living with someone, another adult. You got the kids there, but you're with another adult for a long time. But after a while, it's like, no, I don't really want to negotiate my space. I don't want to negotiate how the kitchen looks. If I don't want to do this, I just want to be able to do what I want to do. So I don't think so. And also, the experience of it. You know, it's hard to trust people. And then when you see all day long, people are.
You definitely see it all.
What was the reason for your first and second divorce, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, well, the first one, we were young, like right out of college, 21. Like,
oh, super young.
Yeah, yeah. So part of that was just
that's when
young,
I was gonna get married.
Haven't really experienced life.
Disney.
You kind of go your separate ways. But the thing that triggered it was the dog.
What?
Dog?
Yeah.
Wow.
We had this little dog and
Petty.
We went young.
For a pet, yeah. Go ahead.
The dog did something, I don't know. And I was like, we gotta have to get this dog out of here. I think he messed all over whatever. So anyway, my other person took the dog away. And I was really upset about that.
Took him away.
Took it away.
What does that mean?
They put him to bed?
Oh, I don't know. I never saw the dog again.
What?
You asked for it.
The first ex.
The first husband. Yeah. Her first husband.
She didn't even want to refer to
yeah.
him.
Well, no, we're friendly.
Now, yeah. So.
Yes.
He got rid of the pet and then?
So you were like, I wasn't really being serious. Where's my dog?
Pretty much.
Yo, women are crazy. Y'all don't understand this?
Pretty much. It was my dog.
This is my daylight.
It was your dog.
How you going to kill my dog?
Together, but it was mine. Like, it was really mine.
She didn't want the dog.
All right, so there was whoever gave most of the care. So there was no, like, confirmation to get rid of the dog. You know, when you want to delete
it.
No, but you know when you want to delete something and then they like it, something pops up and says, are you sure?
Right, there was no, are you sure?
Okay.
Yeah. First of all, don't say shit that you don't mean. Okay, time out.
At the moment, she likely meant it.
You said that after that, he got rid of the dog, and then what happened?
I think that was in the fall, and by April, when I got that bonus check, moved out.
So you was pissed for 6 months.
Yes.
So that was just the starting of
that was,
all
that was kind of the thing, you know, it was building. So then that's kind of like the...
Can whatever. Yeah.
And this nigga got rid of my dog.
Well, I didn't call him that, but you know.
No, that's okay. I'll say that.
The dog? A dog was 15 years?
No.
First
marriage.
We were only we were young. We were in our 20s.
So how long did the marriage last though?
Technically 6 years?
Okay.
I only say that because back then you had in New Jersey, you couldn't get divorced as easy as you can now. So you had to be separated for 18
apart.
Months.
Oh, a year and a half.
You had to live separate. You know, you had, so unless you had some other reason, and we didn't have any of those reasons.
Jesus,
so,
my dog.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, and juveniles.
But I say that. But time went by. We're friendly.
I would hope.
We still talk.
Fucking dog.
You know.
I don't know
where the dog is.
This fall,
he been gone.
Exactly.
Wait, time out. Yeah, be honest.
Why did
be
he
honest.
Tell hold you on, where hold it on, was,
hold on,
though.
Hold on, Fawn. Uh-huh. Don't lie to me now, because I know you. Did y'all ever double back?
No.
Not even a little bit?
No.
Not even a dog.
No.
She was not waiting to leave treat. After that dog was
nope.
gone. Child, right. Please.
Y'all just became friends recently?
Yeah, and
I
recently.
Give it 3 years. next divorce, what happened?
Well, that one isn't as pleasant.
You got it.
Yeah. It was a knockdown, drag out, total, you know, everything you think negative about the divorce process.
Damn.
Happened.
Did you do it? How long did it take?
No.
Oh, I hope you did you clean this clock? Because I'm saying you
what
have
mean,
like,
wait, what does that mean, clean this clock?
You know I'm old now.
Clean this clock.
I mean,
we
don't know either.
Did you go in?
Squares.
Like, did you
like fuck him up?
Yeah.
Y'all are so...
I feel like you have so much insight as to, like, strategy.
Well, here's what one would say. Why be careful if you're going to divorce the family lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
I mean, that's...
Right.
You should be careful.
That's what I'm asking. Right.
You know the judge.
Well, not even that. It's just you know certain things. You know...
And the judge.
Certain things. but to answer your question more pointedly, and I won't make it a downer, but... It was a domestic violence reason.
Oh, okay.
Which
gotcha.
Which is a domestic
DV.
Violence reason. One of the most prevalent types of DV is strangulation. And nobody talks about it as much as they should. But women particularly, not just women, but women particularly are at the hands of that a lot. And it doesn't get... Okay. There's a lot of it. There's no, a lot of times there's no documentation, there's no proof, and it doesn't get reported. But it is the number one predictor of homicide.
Yep.
By that by that intimate partner. Because of, if you can look it up, then what is it, the National Strangulation Institute, Training Institute. And so a couple years ago, I guess it was Governor Murphy, he changed the law, not he, but he signed it into a law where it made strangulation, aggravated assault by strangulation now is a second degree crime in New Jersey as opposed to a third degree crime. Because can't speak about my case, but in general, if you had a third degree and you did that and it was your first offense because you never got caught, then you could get PTI, pretrial, and do a little probation for a couple of years and go about your life. And nobody will, you know, ever know.
To the second time.
Until you do it again, because you will do it again. So, not you, but He will. But it, I mean, I say that because it doesn't get a lot of discussion. And there are a lot of professionals in the family court world or in child protection world. But I won't say they don't know about it, but they, I think it's minimized how serious it is and how it, I didn't come with the stats, but it only takes about a small amount of pressure on someone's neck. And in a short amount of time, they could be dead. Literally, like in several seconds, if it's the right positioning. And people don't know that. And so the thing that prompted the law change was there was a woman in New Jersey, I don't remember the name, but the exact same thing happened. He got PTI, and then he went, kidnapped the kid, drove down south somewhere. They found, basically, he ended up killing her. And that's what was one of the things that prompted this law change. So now it's a little, it's much more difficult. You just can't get it thrown off as a PTI because that's a, it's so dangerous. And my own personal opinion, and when you look at such stats, strangulation is a, it's a crime of passion. Like there's a, you know, it connects a lot with the sexualness. Not, mm-hmm. I'm not promoting, I'm just saying. And there's some people, you know, that they're getting off on that. That's what they, that's how, you know, you watch the CSI, all those different shows, you'll see the, in those sexual assault ones, the strangulation, the actual completion of it would be death. So a lot of the times that you don't, you just go punch somebody. Your first go-to move is not to strangling choke. Somebody. That's not your first go. And if it is, that's a problem. Mm. And I think in family court, and when what I do, clients don't know that. Like that's not normal. That if the first thing they do, instead of punching you, not saying punching is good, but I'm just putting it to you, you didn't get punched, but you got choked three times, or you got strangled, which is the technical term. They don't realize how significant it is. And in full disclosure, I, as a full practicing attorney at the time, had a DV person at the police station who told me that and showed me the wheel. And it was only then when she said, you want to go look in the mirror and look at your neck, that I fully understood what kind of danger was there. I'm going to be cautious about what I say. It happened very fast, very flip. Like it literally was... person just, you know,
snap. I can see that though.
I came in, you know, you say a few words and next thing you know,
boom,
I can see that.
And that was okay. So once that that moment happened, how long did it take for you to exit out of that situation or exit out of that marriage?
We had never lived together or did anything from that day forward.
Oh, that was it.
That's good.
How much more you need?
Yeah, that's no, because lot of people, I mean, especially like marriage, you know, they'll try to. Okay, it was just one time, or
that's a statistic too. It takes a lot of times for someone to move out or go move on for various reasons. And in my situation, that was the worst, but it wasn't the first.
Got it.
You know.
So then,
like, no more.
Now I understand the hate.
And this is who you have your kids with.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Now, how would you feel if your brother, sister, or siblings was like kikiing and ha 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 and with this person?
She said it earlier. Yeah, she's like, she ain't with it.
She not with that.
But thank you.
She was really strict about that. But why. I did say it was circumstantial. Domestic violence is extreme. Everybody's going to want blood after that. Nobody's going to kiki with you.
That's you would be very surprised.
Really?
Because not necessarily my family members, but mutual friends. So you're with someone a long time and you've got these mutual friends that are your children, call them auntie and whatever, you know, those kind of friends. Majority of them took his side.
Damn.
Yeah.
Do you talk
to them? Despite documentation.
Men and women?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They could have been going through their own thing, though. Like, not making excuses for them, but...
because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. It's like something happened to them, and...
Maybe they were the same type of person.
Are these still the... are these friends still in your life?
Not my life. I mean, I know where they are. No, there's no black belt like that, but, you know, I keep you there. I stay over here.
Yeah.
We do my... Yeah.
My thing. My thing a thing.
Shit, back to the pets.
That's why I said I didn't want it to be a downer.
It wasn't a downer. It's very insightful,
it is.
To be honest. Mm-hmm. And I think it needs to be talked about more often, only because, just because we know something, and I feel like a lot of times we get to a point where we know something is you know, exists, but we just hear about it, but we don't hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we kind of just brush it off as, oh, it's an extreme, or, oh, it's not normal. But then when we actually understand the severity of it, then it allows everybody to have more awareness of the situation. You know,
not just what if.
Yeah, not just the what if.
It's a literal, like, thing that happened, you know.
Yep. And you know, I don't want to put my business out there, but I had a situation like that this summer with one of my immediate family members, which caused me to go a little berserk. Right. And but the part that pissed me off was that after this person put their hands on you, you went right back.
Yeah.
And now it's like, and then
that
it's
happens.
Like, and that's the worst part, because it's like, you know, what do you, how do you protect somebody who's willing to put themselves at danger again? You know what I mean?
Exactly. And even in my professional world, when clients come in like that, I know, because I've experienced it, they have to be ready. And they have to really be ready.
Like, ready to like, make a move?
Right.
Believe, okay. Yeah.
And in a safe way, you know. But they have to have it in their head that they're ready to do it. Because if not, you're going to think about it. I mean, there's things to consider. I mean, you got children. Just because the other person, male or woman, did whatever they did doesn't mean you're going to get the kids. Yeah. So,
really?
Oh, in fact, most of the abusers are the ones who are going to look for sole custody. They're going to fight you harder. This is their mindset. You know, they're going to fight harder, whereas most civil folks are thinking about a joint custodial arrangement. So,
yeah, not me.
A lot of folks worry about, they won't leave because they're not sure they're going to win in a custody battle. And to be honest, I don't have the stats, but you can Google it or whatever. There's good reason for why they should be concerned about that. Because if the other person presents well in court and you don't have a whole lot of other hard evidence, you know, it's tough. Doesn't mean they're going to get. And then now you've got to live with your child going to the home and living in a home and an abuser, and you're not there because now you're separated, as opposed to being in the same home and you can kind of see what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons people stay longer than they should. But I will say, I'll say one positive thing is that about that, despite all that, there have been times where, you know, he and I could talk cordially, you know, it's not, I mean, and it took a while to get past that. I don't, I'm not saying we're not going back, we're not doing this, whatever, but it's not as adversarial as it was at the beginning. That's why I said, when I said time does help, because at the end of the day, you're the parent, you're still the parent. You only get one set of parents, you know, biological parents at least. So you do have to, at some point, be able to, I'll use the internet word, heal. You still need to be able to heal.
Internet word.
Because everybody's talking about healing.
Yo.
Healing. No, it's us. We need, no, I'm saying like it's us. Like, we do need healing.
You know, everyone's talking about, but when you get to that place, and it's where you, like, it's kind of what you were talking about before. Well, I know I'm not going there. I don't have to worry about going back. Like, you've totally separated. I think it's easier to have a conversation and maybe be able to
be cordial. You
know, be cordial.
Have you ever had a situation, like, I'm only asking this, is extreme, but this is one of my all-time favorite movies. Have you ever had a situation like the movie Enough with Jennifer Lopez, and a guy was just... he was just so overwhelming because he had everything in his back pocket between the cops and judges and, you know, everything, like, even to a point where he was quote unquote gonna set her up. Like, have you ever ran into a woman or a man who was, you know, involved with somebody or married to somebody who literally was in a powerful position or had the resources of those in powerful positions?
Yes. And yes.
Yes.
And they don't even have to be as powerful as that in that movie. Like, just give you some random example. You know, if you can't find the body cam from when you got choked out at the police, I'm just saying, I'm giving you some random examples. Crazy. You can't really, you know, all of a sudden it's just not there because people have friends. So that happens. Stuff just disappears.
What have you seen, and I know we have to probably wrap soon, but like, what have you seen as far as, because this is a huge topic on social media, as far as the ability for fathers to get custody in the state of New Jersey? Because a lot of times we hear about fathers, they can't get custody, they just throw custody to mom regardless. Like, what are some of the trends you've seen? And I would love to know, like, how many fathers, you know, really like step in and like try to fight to have their kids.
Yeah. So that is a trend I see on the internet a lot. But I don't think it applies to Jersey. I think
in a lot of states.
I think it's other states where women, mothers, especially for younger children, have a little more rights.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm seeing it in all ways. Fathers are getting custody just as much as the women are. And I've represented, you know, all sides. And I'm saying this also, even in domestic violence cases, I do both sides of the case because I'm advocating. But for fathers, I haven't seen the trend that's on the internet.